So Christ's Church, Christos Ekklesia, that's our series right now. Christos means Christ in the Greek, and Ekklesia is the Greek word for church. Christ's Church is made up of people who are committed. How many of you read Luke 14, 25 through 35 this week? Few of you. I'm telling you what, I missed a couple of days, but I had most of them. You want to change your walk. You read that, yeah, back there shaking, yes. You want to change your walk. You want to change your life. You want to make some difference in your life. You read that passage, Luke 14, 25 through 35, and you can do that. You can catch back up. You can get it done this week and do that. You read that every day, and you live it. You live it. It'll change all sorts of things about your life, and it'll all be for the good. All be for the good of Christ's church. So Christ's church is committed, and that's what that passage is talking about. We are committed to his kingdom. We are to love God more than anything else in our life, that we are to serve him with a sacrificial lifestyle, and we are to be reminded that he is worth everything. One of the first looks we have of the beginning of Christ's church is in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And we get a very simple look at the budding practices of the early church. It says in verse 42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So we have teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread, which is communion, and to prayer. Well, prayers, the word there is actually Greek, or actually plural, though it shows up singular in a lot of our versions, our translations. We're going to talk about fellowship next week. This week, we're going to talk about the first one in that list. They devoted themselves to the apostles' what? Teaching. So today, we're talking about teaching. It started with the apostles' teaching, and then as the church formed and began to spread and grow, then Jesus added other branches of leadership to his church. And we read this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, there's that from Acts chapter 2, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. First of all, notice something consistent with last week's message. Last week's message, we highlighted that the church was Jesus's idea, that the church belongs to Jesus. Jesus called his people the church, ekklesia, which means that's a group of people that are gathered together for a specific purpose, for a specific reason. And Jesus said that his gathering of people, his church, his ekklesia, that it would be a mighty force. And he said that he would build his church and the gates of Hades would not overcome it. And Jesus claimed ownership over the church. He called it my church. And in this passage, as we look, Patty, if we can go back to that passage here. If we look up here, we see another thing very similar in that passage last week. Jesus says, I will build my church. And then here in this passage, it says, so who gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors to the church? Christ. Christ himself gave these positions to the church, gave these positions of leadership. It's Jesus who gives these positions of leadership and these people of leadership to the church. I'm just going to write this down as we get started. Christ gave to his church. And I don't know if maybe I need something happened with our colors there. That's supposed to be red, so we might be able to fix those in the other one. So Christ gave to his church leaders that he specifically gifted to equip his church. That's going to be tough, the whole. Somehow that switched from what I saw last night. And the break there is nice. The break in your bulletin isn't as nice. You might want to put a slash or a comma or something to separate church and leaders. So it's Christ gave his church, pause, leaders, not he gave his church leaders. So when I read over that, I was like, hey, that's not going to work. So Christ gave his church leaders that he specifically gifted to equip his church. Christ gifted certain people for certain places, certain positions in his church. And among all of the many gifts, there are those that have been specifically gifted in areas of leadership in Jesus' church. And it was Jesus who gifted them. It was Jesus who gave them to the church. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. We just talked about this passage of Scripture last September. We talked about how these four offices or these four positions in the church, these four positions of leadership, that they were there to equip the church. That the apostles were around for the forming of the church, and nothing is really said about the apostles continuing on past the first century church. There are a few views on the roles of prophets. First of all, that prophets, like the apostles, they were only around for the beginning of the church when the Bible was, and then after the Bible was put together, then the need for prophets ceased to exist. So we didn't need prophets after the Bible came into existence. Another view is that the prophet is actually just another word for someone who speaks God's word, which could be someone like me, where I'm speaking God's word, but it's a little different than Old Testament prophets, so I'm not sure if I go with that one as much. Some still think that prophets still exist and that prophecy still happens, and as I shared in September, I'm most inclined to view to take the first view, that they were around for the formation of the church, and after that, they weren't quite needed after the Bible was put into practice and put together the Bible we have today. So the first two of this list of this four, they can be understood as obsolete. And so we have the last two of this verse. We have evangelists, and those are people who travel and share the gospel, starting churches. Thank you, Ryan. I saw Ryan get up. By the way, Ryan and I did not plan this. I'm going to have to text him on Saturday night because this happens more often than it should. we're twins today. So evangelists are people who travel and they share the gospel as traveling. They start churches, they move from church to church, and we see these in the modern church some. But the one that we see the most is this fourth category, and some of you are saying, well, there's five categories, and there's four categories, because pastor-teacher is linked in the Greek here. They're two words, but they're linked, so it's actually one office or one position that's the pastor-teacher. And so that's the one that we see most often. Where do we see pastor-teachers in Christ Church today? Well, first of all, pastor-teachers are among the expectations and the qualifications of church elders. An elder is described many times as being a pastor or a shepherd, to care for the church, to be an overseer of the church. In addition to that, one of the key differences between an elder and a deacon is that an elder is to be able to teach. And so we've seen here that both Ryan and Kurt have preached. Chuck has been teaching his Sunday school class for a long, long time. And they all give communion meditations. And so, and we know that Ryan has started a Sunday school class. So we get a chance to see this, that one of the natural roles of pastor teachers is that you find them as church elders in the church. Another place where you see pastor teachers is in my role, a paid staff member. Who fulfills the duties of a pastor-teacher with their giftedness. They care for the people as a shepherd cares for his sheep, a pastor, as some churches would call a position like mine. And they also preach and teach. Someone who is paid to preach and teach, according to Paul in 1 Timothy 5, that position is the position of a paid elder that preaches and teaches. Preachers and teachers are also found in people like Joe, wherever he's normally right here. There he is. You're in a different place. The new service has got people moved around a little bit. So Joe, which was up on the screen, which was blaming his Sunday school class for his waistline. but Joe is one of our Sunday school teachers. So you see our pastor teacher in the Sunday school teachers, the small group leaders, where they do the role of pastoring and caring for the small group of people they have, and they teach them. And so we see this group all over our church. And so going back to Ephesians 4, we see these four groups, but they have one purpose. Four positions of leadership mentioned, but they have one purpose. So we can go back and revisit that. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his church. They all have one purpose, and that is to equip. Singular purpose, to equip. All of these offices, one purpose. And they actually have a common source as well. A common tool, a common source to facilitate their job of equipping. And that common source is Scripture. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, who, funny, we're in the book of Ephesians today. Timothy was the minister at Ephesus. So both passages are kind of geared towards that city, one towards the church and one towards the minister there. So 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture, this is a famous passage, a lot of you will be familiar with this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So let's write this down. Well, actually, this doesn't have any blanks, but this will be in your bulletin. All scripture is God-breathed and equips Christ's church through, and we're going to kind of unpack this passage a little bit. What are these things that are the ways that scripture is used to equip Christ's church? And I want to think of this as a, with the illustration kind of going parallel to our study today, of an athlete or of a, an occupation, someone at work. And I want us to think about it in those ways as we connect it to our Christian walk, to our walk as members of the church. So teaching, the first in this list. Teaching is basically why, how, and what to do. So if we look at an athlete needs a coach to say, here's why we do this. Here's how you are to accomplish your objective. Here's your equipment. Here's how to use it. Here's how to properly use it. Here's how to get the most out of your equipment. Here's how. Here's what you do. Here's the definition of your actions in this particular position or this particular place on this team in this particular sport. Same thing would happen in an occupation. There's instructions given. Here's why we do this at this company. Here's why we function this way. Here's the why behind this. Here's how you do this. Here's how you accomplish your objective. Here are the tools at your disposal here at our company, and you can use these tools. Let me show you how to use these tools to the best of your ability and the way that they should be used. Here's what you are to do. Here's the definition of your actions. Here's your job description. And so we need this. As Christians in the church, we need this. We need teaching. We need our service in the kingdom to be defined. We need to know why it matters, why we do certain things, why we make certain choices, why we think certain ways, why we are to feel certain things. We need to know how. Here's how you respond to God's offer of salvation. I mean, that's a big how. We need that how. And there's so many other hows that you can pull from. Here's how you listen and you're attentive to God's Holy Spirit. Here's how you handle suffering. Here's how you love other people. Here's how you care for the needs of others. Here's how you conduct yourself. Here's how you behave. Here's how you obey Christ. Here's how. And we need to know what. We need to know what to do. You do these things. Here's what you do. You do these things. You forgive as the Lord forgave others. You love God and you love others. You speak the truth in love. And there's so many other what's that are there. In addition to what, we not only have what we do, but we also have what we are. We are children of God. We're members of Christ's church. We are his ambassadors. We are being made into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We are a new creation. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So we have why and how and what. And all these things come from the teaching, from God's word. We're taught these things from scripture. And we, in turn, we are better equipped whenever we learn more things, then we're more equipped. And you learn more and you're more equipped and you learn more and you're more equipped. And so it should go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Those things that you're taught from Scripture, do those things. Do them. Act on them. Behave that way. Think that way. Feel that way. Don't just sit under good biblical instruction, whether here, your small group, your Sunday school, wherever, and nod your head or say amen. It's got to matter. It's got to connect deep inside of who we are. It's got to change things. We have to change our view on this. That this is a time when we come together to be equipped. Not to be served. Not to come in and just enjoy or to punch a card. I went to church this Sunday. I spent my hour. No, we come here for a reason. And that is to be equipped. And that's how we should view this time. That's how I view this time. Every Sunday when I prepare for Sunday morning, I'm thinking, how can I better equip God's people? How can I give them more to become better? There's our 2017 word. How can I help the people who are going to show up on a Sunday morning or the people who are listening online? How can I help them to be better connected to God's kingdom? How can I help them to be better effective in God's kingdom? How can I help them to have a better relationship with God? How can I help them to better follow Jesus, to better obey Jesus, to be better witnesses? Whatever the topic is that Sunday, my goal is to bring whatever I can and say, okay, I'm going to try to do everything I can to equip those who are there. But any kind of conversation, any kind of communication, it's two-way. Even though I'm the one speaking and you guys speak a little bit through a service, it's still a two-way conversation. It has to be both of us viewing it that way. If I come in here thinking I'm coming in to equip and you're thinking, well, I'm coming here to enjoy, then the objective is not going to be complete. We all have to come in here on a Sunday morning and say, Christ Church is being equipped. When God's word is open up and it is being taught by those that Christ gave to the church, that the Holy Spirit gifted for the church, using God's holy scriptures that God gave to the church, that we are being equipped. And there's much more. There are many other things here in this passage, not just teaching, but there's time of rebuking. And that's what not to do. If we go back to the idea of an athlete or someone at their job, once there's some progress, then there's something to look at. There's something for a coach or an instructor or a boss to review and to take a look at that. And they can look at the progress and they can say, okay, that thing over here that you just did, no, don't do that again. Don't do that way. That's not healthy. That's not productive. That's not going to help us move forward as a company. That's not going to help you score goals, or that's not going to help you keep people from scoring goals, whatever position you are on the team. Whatever your objective is, there are times when we need that. We need this. We need this, church. We need to see the error of our ways, and that's part of this equipping process. When God's word is opened up to us, we need to be able to see where we've gone wrong. And we need to make sure we don't make that mistake again. We need to know that what's not productive in our walk with God. We need to know what's not helpful for God's kingdom. We need to know what's not healthy for Christ's church. And we need to not do those things. If you're sitting in a Sunday school class or a small group or here in church, and one of these people who have been given to the church by Jesus, when they share something from God's word that we need to stop doing, then guess what? We need to stop doing it. If it's from God's word, we need to stop it. And that's rebuking. Some of the equipping processes is shave off. Not just to add to, but we need to shave off things that keep us from doing the best we can. And that's our objective. Is any of those that have been gifted with the gift of teaching, pastor teachers, our goal is to help you to do the best you can. And some of that means stripping some things off, shaving some things off, getting rid of things that keep us from being the best we can be. So there's teaching, there's rebuking, and there's correcting. How do I do it better? You know, as a coach or a good boss or a good supervisor, this is kind of a little more of the more difficult areas to see. It's very clear to say this is what you should do. You know, we've read this. This is football 101, or this is accounting 101. These are things you shouldn't do. You don't want to be in the red. You know, you don't want to run to the other end zone as a wide receiver. These are clear. But the correcting process is some of the stuff in the middle, and some of that's a little more subtle. Little adjustments here to improve and make things better, 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 better. It's like learning to drive, just small corrections. You know, you don't drive like this, do you? Oh. Terry, you just got thrown under the bus. Your daughter's like, I don't believe that he drives like that. I've been with you. I've been in the car with you. Big old. Huge. Was it a dump truck or a big? I know we saw a huge. He took me out there. Anyway, we don't do that. That'll wear your car out. That'll make everyone sick. It's just little corrections, depending on what, you know, how you are. Hopefully, you're looking at the road. It's just little corrections. I heard once about learning to drive that you don't steer a car, you aim a car. Steering, aim. You have a goal you're aiming for. You have the white lines. You have your yellow and white, and you need to stay between those. But it's not just enough to stay between those, because then you're just steering. But if you have an objective that you're aiming for, then you're aiming, and then the corrections are slight, and you're not overcorrecting. And that's what it is when we go into God's word and we have corrections that are brought to us. It's here are the lines, here are the out of bounds, here's what you're not to do, that's the rebuking side of things. Here's what you are to do, that's the aiming, and then the correction is on the way there. Here are the little adjustments to make. We always have those little adjustments. We always have corrections to make. Here's how you are going to be better tomorrow than you were today. That's what corrections are about. We make slight adjustments. So teaching, rebuking, corrections, and last, it's training in righteousness. Recognize and repeat the right choices and actions over and over and over again. Training is a repetitious conditioning. It's to condition the mind to the right choices, to think the right way about things, and to recognize that, and to repeat that over and over and over, and it becomes a habit. It becomes a pattern. It becomes a conditioning. It's who we are. That's what training is. Training is doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Those of you who have been in athletics or sports, you know that's what it is. You train. You do the same thing over and over and over again. In a job or occupation, there's some things that you do over and over and over again. And the purpose of that is it should become just part of who you are. You shouldn't have to think about it any longer once the training has set in. You just do. You just do it. And your mind can focus on other things and greater things because you're conditioned. Your mind is conditioned. Your heart is conditioned. It's a conditioning of the heart. To be moved toward, to be attracted to the right things. And you recognize what the right things are. And you repeat that over and over and over again. And it becomes a heart conditioning. So that you'll naturally be drawn to the things that draw God. So that we can be men and women after the very heart of God. To condition our behavior, to be naturally responsive with our actions in ways that would be pleasing to God over and over and over again. We recognize them and then repeat them. And then it becomes conditioned behavior, conditioned actions. Training happens when you repeat something over and over and over again. To condition the inner being, to condition the core of who we are. So that you don't have to think to respond. So you don't have to question the feeling. You don't have to question the action. You just do it. As an athlete, you don't always have time to think. You just do it. And that's what training is good for. I left soccer for a while and I went back. And I remember my first game back, I was nervous. And I saw, and sometimes in different athletes have different things. But, you know, there's just this little opening in between me and the goal. And my left foot just knew what to do. It hit the net. And my new team was like, all right, this old guy knows what he's doing. That was 10 years ago. But that's what training and conditioning does. It's so that we just do the right thing. Because that's what we've trained ourselves to do and that we train from Scripture. So we are equipped by Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. Let's read this one more time. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God, so that we, the minister of God, the servant of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The purpose we get from that scripture is that we would be thoroughly equipped, every one of us. Back in Ephesians, we read the same conclusion as we review that scripture. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip. That's the purpose. To equip his people for works of service. So let's write that down. Christ's church is equipped for a purpose. For works of service or ministry. When you have this awesome God thought about, God designed, God implemented combination at work. When you have God's preachers and teachers, that giftedness there, when you have those that God gave to the church, those that God gifted to the church, using scripture that God breathed, and they're sharing things from God's word, then we are equipped, and then we are more equipped the more we are exposed to this. And the purpose of this has been made clear so that God's people will be active in works of service, that we will be active in good works, that we will be thoroughly equipped for those things. In our church puts a huge emphasis on teaching. In fact, the Church of Christ Christian Churches, that's one of the things I love about the Restoration Movement. There's a huge emphasis on teaching. We have sermons, we have Sunday schools, we've had evening classes before, we got small groups. But all of that teaching, all of that equipping is for a purpose. And if we aren't involved in good works, as Paul tells Timothy, if we aren't involved in works of service or works of ministry, as he writes to the Ephesians, then what good is it to have all that teaching? What good is it to be equipped if you're not using it? I mean, what athlete would you think that I'm going to invest into this athlete as a coach? I'm going to teach them. I'm going to rebuke them, tell them when they're not doing right. I'm going to correct them. I'm going to help them to have training to do something over and over and over and over again. What coach does that for an athlete that they never want to put on the field? The hope is that you're doing that to put them on the field. So they affect the team, so they help move the team forward, so they help bring a W. That's the goal, that they invest into that athlete to get on the field on game day and do something. When you think about your occupation, your career, and those that have helped you and those that you've helped, you've invested in them. You've taught them what the right thing is to do. You've rebuked them. You said, no, don't do it that way. That's not the right way to do it. That's not going to help. You've given them little corrections. You've trained them. Here's how you do this over and over and over and over again. This way, exactly this way, right here. You just do this over and over and over again. You don't do that with the expectation this person is never going to do anything for the company. If they're never going to do anything for the company, you get rid of them. They're gone. You invest into an employee, you invest into a coworker, your company invests into you. Why? To move the company forward, to benefit the company, to do something for the company, to be a part of the greater whole. And as an individual, you are doing something in synergy with the others to do something positive. Why don't we view it that way for church? It's not just to come and sit and listen or to come and be entertained or to have something go, oh, that made me think. No. It should make you do. Thinking happens, but then you do. It can't just stop. We're trained. We're equipped. We're equipped to do. God has set this up. He gave the church these leaders. He gave the church his scriptures, his God-breathed scripture for the purpose of equipping. And equipping is for the purpose of doing. We are equipped to do good works. We are equipped to be involved in ministry or service. And I use that word interchangeably because that word in Ephesians is that word in the Greek can be translated as service or ministry. And that's why we're equipped. We're equipped to do, to move the kingdom forward, to advance the kingdom, to be actively involved. So what are you doing? What are you doing? That's a fair question. That's a very fair. In fact, that was an expected question. In this discussion this morning, and we're going to this point, you're like, he's going to ask. I know he's going to ask. Well, I'm asking, what are you doing? What are you doing for the kingdom? What are you doing with all of this equipping that's happening to you and for you and in you and around you? What are you doing with that? What use are you putting that to? It should affect us. This was not haphazard. This is God's thing. Christ's church. Christ gave purpose-oriented leaders. The Holy Spirit gifted them in these ways. Scripture has been given to us for this purpose. And it should really affect us. It should move us. It should hit us at a heart level. If we're not doing something with that, it should do something. It should awaken something in us that says, you know what? That's right. That's scripture. I'm going to leave that right there. I could keep preaching. But I'm going to leave that right there. Because you need to talk with God about that. And I'm just going to step out of that conversation. The Holy Spirit's used me. The Holy Spirit's used scripture to bring that to your plate this morning. Now I want the two of you to talk about it. We'll have some time during the invitation song in just a moment. And there's an outcome. We'll hit this real quick. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that, here's the outcome, here's the result, here's the desired outcome, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. That's actually the end of that one. Attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let's write these down real quick. Christ expects his equipped church to be built up. And the scripture's right there where that came from. To be built up so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's the outcome of this. We're equipped to serve so that the church may be built up, so it may grow up. It's the next one. So it may grow up, maturity through faith and unity, or unity in faith and knowledge of God's Son, which is Jesus. I had to change God's Son to Jesus there to fit it in the margin. So we grow up. The church should be growing up. We should be maturing together. So we build up, we're growing inside, but we're also growing outside. We should be growing in numbers. We should be growing, that the church should be multiplying. God has never been about addition. He's always been about multiplication. So the church should be built up and the church should be growing up. We should be maturing. Every Sunday, every time we encounter God's word being taught, every time we encounter God's word on a personal level, that should move us to a next step of maturity, that we should be growing up and we should grow up as a church. To mature as a church and to measure up. To measure up to Christ's standards for his church, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I tell my boys, it's not healthy. It's not a healthy practice to compare yourself to other people. To measure yourself against other people. That's not our measurement, church. Our measurement is so much more intimidating than just the guy or girl sitting beside you. Our measurement is that of Jesus Christ. Scripture's very clear about that. Here, if you want to measure yourself up, and we should be measuring ourselves up, you should measure up to the fullness of Christ. That's what you measure up to. And if you're not there, you just keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. None of us are going to be there. That's why we always are going to keep trying. I don't care if you're 80-something or if you're 18 in here. We're always moving forward. We're always trying. We're always working with this. To build up, to grow up, to measure up. As Christ's church, because we are equipped. We are equipped by God's gifted and given leaders to the church who share God's word with us, which is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We are equipped for good works. We are equipped for works of service. We are thoroughly equipped for good works. And we should view this time as a time of equipping, a time to be equipped. Christos ex ecclesia. Christ Church equipped.